So we're up to Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, Canto 7, Chapter 5, and we're reading from Satyam. In regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Agastya Samhita states, the devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally, and for this purpose he resides in the temple. Elsewhere there is the statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are these devotees. In the statement, the word friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the state above Dasya Ras, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. This is not at all astonishing. When a devotee is pure in heart and opulence, the opulence of his worship for the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the Personality of Godhead is manifested. In this regard, Sridhara Swami mentions Sudama Vipra expressing himself as feelings of obligation. Thinking life after life may be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. These two relationships between Dasyam and Sakyam are intimately connected. Srila Rupa Goswami has told us that our advance in devotional service depends upon loving exchanges with the devotees, of which he mentioned six of them. Namely, offering gifts in charity, didati, prati, grinati, Kulyam Akiti Prichati Bhumtel Bhumtebo Jayate Jaiva Shadvidam Priti Lakshana. So this Priti Lakshana is the object or the goal of what we're trying to achieve, namely affection, love. Love, Krishna says, Tesham Sadatam Yuktana Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buryogantam Yenamam Upriyanti Te. This intelligence, how to develop our priti, our love, is given by Krishna. The more we're constantly trying to perform our service with care and attention, then the more Krishna gives us the intelligence how to develop more care and attention, how to do our service more consistently and more feelingly or lovingly. This is a gift given by Krishna. For those who are trying sincerely to develop that desire to develop these qualities of consistency and affection. So in the material world, as we know, that the material world is based upon imitating Krishna, and because we're trying to imitate Krishna, therefore instead of having a service attitude towards Krishna, we have a service attitude towards his energy, the material energy, an illusion. We identify ourselves with material energy, specifically the body or the mind or our family or society or our country or whatever, and we give our affection and our love consistently to these things. So, dasya means to change that, to change the object, and of course the first object is Ishvara, Krishna. We try to develop our love for Krishna, prema. And then to the devotees, there is maitri, or friendship. But friendship begins with service, and so therefore, because unless we're trying to serve someone, there's no question of friendship. Your enemies may be serving you, but not in a very favorable way. So, service, when we're trying to serve someone, then there is the beginning of friendship, that devotee. And even ordinary people, if we try to serve them, then they become friendly to us. So these six loving exchanges, they have to be appropriately applied. So there, Shri Goswami says, Tadati prati krishneti yasi giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chat praniti vishabhajantam isham Shushu Shaya Chavajnam Ananya Anya and dahi sunyam hridayati sita sangalabhya. So this is how intelligence comes into Krishna consciousness. That we have to be able to discriminate between who's on a same level as we are and try to cooperate with them. To see who's on a higher level than we are and with their instructions try to learn how to cooperate and serve those who are on a lower level. In other words, our discrimination should be all positive. Adosha Darshi. That to not see things wrongly, or Adosha Darshi, not to see the faults, means to see what is the important qualities, namely the good qualities, that someone's exhibited. Prabhupada gives the example. Just like if someone is dirty, but they're in the shower, you can't criticize them for being dirty, because they're in the shower. So similarly, someone who's engaged in devotional service, is our duty to learn how to see everyone appropriately, what their level of advancement is, and so we can serve them appropriately. To see those who are lower is not with the idea that we want to put them even lower than they already are. The idea of seeing people, devotees who are lower, or even people who are innocent, is to help understand how to raise them to a higher level. And for those who are on an equal level, generally speaking, people see are on an equal and they try and get a little bit ahead of the other person. You're almost up, and you take off. No, it's to actually cooperate with them so they can even become better than you are. And for those, or if they are better than you are, then you take pleasure in that. You learn from them how to also become as good a servant of Krishna as they are. And for those who are higher, they're higher because they've developed the vision of seeing everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, and therefore they appreciate whatever service anyone is rendering to Krishna. And they're consistently engaged in Krishna service because they don't see anything better to do than to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So that's our first business, is to see, which is easier, to see on what level other devotees are on so we can serve them appropriately. And next we should try to understand what level we are on. So we understand what level, what is our next step, what do we have to come to in order to improve our service. The whole fifth verse of the Nectar of Instruction is to give us that vision, that intelligence, that so we can see things properly. And seeing things properly doesn't mean to see the universal form of Krishna or to see, you know, the form of Shyama Sundara and now we've become perfect. But actually, siddham prasangam amavirya sambhido bhavanti rekharin or desayanam kata. That association with the devotees is essential because they teach us how to actually become a devotee of Krishna's devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never claimed that he was a devotee of Krishna. He claimed that he was trying to become dasa, dasa, anudasa, the servant of Krishna's devotees. And in order to do that, we have to see how to do that appropriately. So, we take initiation at the time of initiation to give up our false ego. Because when we throw the grains in and we get our name, it's not that our false ego just, you know, vanishes into the fire. That would be nice, but I haven't seen a fire sacrifice so strong so far. But we make a vow, and we have the preliminary qualifications that we understand enough that this is my mission in life. Is not only to give up my false ego, but more importantly to accept my real ego as dasa, dasa, anadasa. And now I'm going to engage in that service of the devotees. So the spiritual master, his elevation is not according to how high his seat is. His elevation is not according to how many verses he can quote or even how many disciples he has. His elevation is according to how he can train his disciples, how they can actually learn how to appropriately become a servant of all the other devotees. That's what creates the family. The spiritual family is when we meet anyone, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Gurhana Taridesh. We only have one business. Our business is quite simple. Not easy, because we have a few things to remember, but we only have actually one thing to remember. And when we remember that one thing, then we have to remember a few other things. Namely, whoever I see, whoever I meet, then my meditation should be my prayer to Krishna, my prayer to my spiritual master and to the previous acharyas, to give me the intelligence how I can appropriately serve that devotee, to help them make advancement in those loving exchanges. So the spiritual master, the spiritual master is one who's expert at seeing where someone else is at, where another devotee is at, an expert at giving them the proper example, the proper inspiration, the proper instruction, so that they develop this attitude of service of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Then when they develop that attitude of service to Krishna's servants, then they also have to see who amongst the other devotees, not only their initiating guru, but amongst all the other devotees, who they have to learn from. If they think there's no one else to learn from, then they're not going to learn anything. Unless they can actually see and appreciate the other devotees and see who to learn from, who to serve appropriately, then there's no question of actually making very much spiritual advancement. Love is not only concentrated, well, love is concentrated in Krishna, and Krishna is everywhere. So to love Krishna in the hearts of the other devotees means to see who's the example we should take in different ways, and whose instructions we should follow, because they're on a heart, we can see they're on a higher level. One of two things, either enthusiasm to serve Krishna or consistency in serving Krishna, determination to serve Krishna. So we have to treat them as our guru. If we don't treat them as our guru, then we're offending them. We're offending them in the sense that they may not feel any offense. They don't even know how we're feeling, perhaps. But because of our offensive attitude towards their devotional service, because this is superior to us, therefore our level of devotional service gets checked right there. We cannot come to that level that they have achieved, because we have no interest, or we have no recognition, or we're actually antagonistic towards that level of devotional service. So when we open our hearts up, the spiritual master helps us open our hearts up, so we can see everyone else and judge them appropriately according to Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, so we can learn how to serve them appropriately. So especially those who are superior to us, we have to take as our guru and learn how to serve them appropriately also. And for those who are actually on an equal level and under the guidance of these superior devotees, then we learn how to cooperate with them, specifically to serve the other devotees in the temple, and also to expand the Hare Krishna movement. We're not cooperating simply to cook prasadam. We're cooperating also to put into the fire of the Sankirtan movement all the other living entities, following the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for those who are innocent, then we learn how to give them association in such a way as that they realize that we're friendly, that we're interested, that we want to help them. People are innocent. They're looking for someone to help them. They're needy. But they don't know what their need is, generally speaking. They don't realize that their actual need is to develop love for Krishna. They're giving their love in so many different directions, and no matter how much they give their love, they still feel needy. But when we can give them Krishna's love as his instrument, then people can actually feel that they're actually getting some spiritual nourishment. And when they get some spiritual nourishment, then they'll become interested in the friendship of the devotees, the association of devotees. So service is our basic principle that we have to learn. Material world is a perverted reflection of the service attitude. Everyone came here to serve themselves, and they've gotten entangled in serving so many things which are not themselves and have nothing to do with themselves. So we correctly understand we're servants, and at every moment we have a choice. Either we can serve our gross and subtle bodies and their dictation and other people's gross and subtle bodies, which is all right if we add Krishna to the whole equation. We don't mind serving people's bodies by giving them prasadam, giving them some nice words of Krishna consciousness. We can serve everyone in so many different ways, but we shouldn't forget not only Krishna, but we should not forget Krishna's mission. So, as Maharaj was saying, that we we honor the disappearance day of our devotees, our advanced devotees in our movement, because a spiritual master has generally two qualities. Hopefully, Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakura, told Sanatana Goswami, he said that amongst the devotees, there are some that are very strict, and they follow very strictly. And there are others who are very inspirational. They serve to inspire others to become Krishna conscious. He said, well, you're the best of all the devotees, because you're not only inspirational, but you also follow very strictly. So especially those devotees in our society who are prominent, they become prominent because they follow strictly, they've understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and to whatever extent they could, whoever they met, they try to help engage in Krishna's service. And therefore, the results are that they attract many devotees to the movement. They're able to set up different projects to help attract devotees to the movement and engage them in these loving exchanges amongst themselves and amongst others. Our society will expand itself unlimitedly when our spiritual masters are seen to be honored, because they're instructing others, all their disciples, all their followers, and how to love all the devotees in the society appropriately. And although there will always be initiating gurus, but when the initiating gurus and the shiksha gurus, the other devotees who are inspiring the devotees to advance in devotional service, not just officially, we don't need just official gurus. The initiating guru doesn't have to have an official title. For the disciple, the inspiration he gives, and the example he gives is sufficient to help the disciple in advance in devotional service. But because we're neophytes, in general, the devotees are neophytes, therefore they need some discipline also, they need some regulation, their minds are not always so steady, so there should at least be one devotee that they have service attitude towards, and that they understand as soon as they have some negative attitude or some negative feeling, their intelligence checks and says, no, don't go there. So that one learns the appropriate service attitude towards Krishna. Because without their appropriate service attitude, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. But we have to develop that service attitude so that so many devotees, so that when we see another devotee who's actually our inspiration to us, instructing us, then when the mind goes, no, don't go there also. Don't go, go here instead. Go something positive, appreciation. And when we develop that amongst our seniors, And consider, not only, no, no, I can't criticize, I'll go to hell. I'm going to go to hell, it's warm enough here. No, we have to become positive, loving, appreciative. Love is not just, you know, oh, Krishna. Oh. No, love in its most elementary form is some appreciation, some recognition, some respect. Then love can develop from there. So when we can actually see our Shiksha Gurus and our Diksha Gurus and honor them appropriately, then the result will be that we'll be able to honor each other appropriately also, those who are on the same level. Then we'll take inspiration from their example, how they interact with each other, devotees on a higher level, their loving exchanges with each other, and then we'll try to duplicate that same loving exchanges amongst those who are equal. And we feel those loving exchanges amongst those who are equal and see the loving exchanges and the example of the instructions of those who are higher, then we'll want to bring others into the spiritual family. Then we'll have some gift for them. Not only to give them a book and get some loving exchanges in the form of Lakshmi Devi, but also loving exchanges on every level. It won't stop there. Thank you for the Lakshmi. We'll see you next week on the street. Then we'll actually want to bring them into the temple. We'll want to bring them into the association doors. We want to demonstrate to them the loving exchanges of those who are superior, the loving exchanges of those who are equal, and the loving exchanges we have with them, that our society can develop spiritually, and it'll grow, and it'll actually become successful. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Just a comment.
Okay.
Just ask and then you repeat the question for the audience.
No, it's not a question, it's a comment. Go ahead and take this more.
Thank you, Maharaj. The points you made were really powerful because they really go to the essence of our whole practice. But I wanted to say was kind of like emphasize and reiterate some of the one point you made, and that is the loving exchange between devotees and how that really affects people, when new people, when they come. It's such a powerful way to preach. It's even better than any other form of preaching. When new people come in and they see how close and how, what we say, caring the devotees are to each other, they actually really want to take interest and actually become a part of it. We've seen that many times, and we've seen the opposite when it's not there, how people become more distant when they see the devotees are not cooperating or working together or having that exchange. So I just wanted to make that point because I think it's most very powerful point that by developing that, which is the mood of devotional service, we really can bring so many new people in just by that mood alone. And then they're ready to hear more and more, oh, these people are so loving to each other, caring. We want to know what is their lifestyle, what is their philosophy. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah, okay.
We have a question.
No.
Is it working?
Yeah.
There's a saying, it takes one. It takes one for no one. And there are so many people who are so different. How can we accommodate different natures of people with different tastes and convictions? We see that Kaliyuga means the time of quarrel, that people like to quarrel over anything. How can we help unite people in, or attract people with different preferences and natures?
Well, not all different natures repel each other. Some of them attract each other. Just like a man has a certain nature and a woman has a certain nature. Somehow or another, those differences attract each other. But it's not that differences are unattractive. Just like if you have a flowers, you may have a rose, gardenias, and you may have some leaves, and you put them together, then it makes a very attractive arrangement. And Prabhupada used to say the way of doing that is everyone has the same center. Because everyone ultimately has the same center interest. No matter what our varieties are, the center interest is Krishna. So when we focus our minds on Krishna, pleasing Him, then all the different varieties of how to please Him, they become actually attractive when they're put together. When the center is Krishna, then all the varieties actually please Krishna more. And because Krishna is pleased more, the varieties please everyone more. Anything else?
Could I just ask you for advice how to avoid unintentional offenses? So when, for example, the mind spontaneously links some word with bad connotation or some bad word with the devotee, and then how to stop this, for example, if you could advise.
Don't believe your mind. Your mind is also either Krishna speaking to us or Maya speaking to us. So when Krishna is speaking to us, we should listen. And when Maya is speaking to us, we say, thank you very much. I think I'll ask Krishna what he thinks about that. Sounds like pretty good to me, but let's see what Krishna... Oh, Krishna doesn't agree with it, sorry. No, eternally, in the conditioned life, we have two associations, so we should read Prabhupada's books, we should hear from the devotees, and so we can understand which voice is speaking to us. And if one voice is speaking to us, and it doesn't sound very proper, then we have to ask Krishna for the positive viewpoint. And when we get that positive viewpoint, then we'll think, well, Maya, I think you should listen to Krishna. Have you read Bhagavad Gita? Could help you, you know. Yes.
I had a similar question yesterday. One devotee glorified one other devotee in my presence to me. I mean, I was his audience. And then he invited me to join, but this was more like a command now, and I didn't feel very much like joining him into this glorification. And I said to him, I cannot do it. This devotee might, or I'm sure he has all those qualities, but I don't feel like doing it on command. And especially this devotee is part of our establishment, so especially I don't feel it like glorifying on command somebody who is like official authority, because it makes me like a flatterer or whatever. So what about that? Where we are in such a situation?
Your life is complicated. So, if we don't know what to do, then just say Hare Krishna. That's also glorification. When Dhruva Maharaj was about to leave this world, then a Vaikuntha airplane came, Death personified came, and bowed down before Dhruva Maharaj. He stepped on the airplane. I'm Death personified before he got onto the airplane. But when he was on the airplane, he was so overwhelmed, he didn't know what to say. So he just said, Hare Krishna. And that was sufficient. All right, anything else? Thank you very much. Krandarashma Bhagavatam Ki Jai.